Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. Great to see you. If you're a guest, a special welcome to you. This is a special day. We start off the year kind of the same way each year, sort of our tradition, and we're glad you're here for that. It's a way for us to really set the tone for the year ahead. And so for all of us, glad you're here. But if you're a guest, a special welcome. I want to let you know what's coming. There's a little different flow today. I'm going to sort of be your cruise director and guide you through three acts of worship. And we'll pray prayers together and really have time for some reflection and prayer. And we will share in Holy Communion at the end of the service today. In fact, we will be doing that every Sunday in 2019 as one sort of intentional way of really trying to lean into the work of God in our lives and continue to bring our lives to that story. And there's a lot of reason why we're doing that, and I'll be sharing that in the next weeks ahead of why we sense a real call to prayer in the year ahead. And today will be really sort of the kickoff of that. So if you're a guest, I hope you'll feel right at home and feel free to come to communion. And for all of us, I pray this will be a really great way to start our year together. In your bulletin, there are some things for you to take note of. As always, we want to call your attention to our app, which more and more is a place for you to go to know what's going on, to make connections, and you can figure out how to download our app through a bulletin, and then push notifications and things that let you stay connected in different ways, and just lots of stuff that happens through that tool. Your celebration story in your bulletin is of Lois Willis and her 100th birthday, which, you know, if you turn 100 at Broadway, we're going to celebrate you. So we just love her, and she is something special. She stood up at her birthday party and said, "Listen, here's what I want you all to know. I love you, and I hope I stay around long enough to love you some more." So pretty awesome lady, a wonderful woman of faith, and we celebrate that. And then if you're newer to Broadway and are thinking about membership or thinking about just how do you take a next step, if you're newer, then our Broadway Welcome Dinner that we only do twice a year is January 30th. And that will be a great time for us to really talk about what God is doing and our mission in general terms, and then some very specific stuff that gets you sort of on the inside and lets you figure out what the next step is for you. So we'd encourage you to sign up for that on your communication sheet, and for all of us to use that sheet to offer up information or prayers that we can pray over in the week ahead. And you can put that in the offering plate here a little bit later. Today, we are making the transition into the new year, and I don't know if you feel this way, but it does sort of feel like we just sort of rush from one thing to the next to the next. I mean, Christmas was not that long ago, but it feels like, you know, it's long past. I feel like a couple things out of Christmas that I just want to sort of bring up. One is an apology, actually, from our Christmas Eve service, from the sermon. We had, in that sermon, I really sort of railed on the Hallmark holiday movie, and there was somebody in the sweating it in the pew, so to speak, because he had purchased these socks for his wife, and I think we'll have a picture of them. They're in the message part of the thing, guys. And those socks said, "If you can read this, leave me alone. I'm watching Hallmark movies." And he had bought them, but had not given them to his wife. So sat through the whole Christmas Eve service trying to figure out what to do, you know, with his life choices, so to speak. So apologize for that. Also, talking about Christmas gives us a way to celebrate our staff. I think many of you recognize that when we're sort of, everybody else is sort of ramping down, the church staff is ramping up. And in the balance of family stuff and all that comes with the holiday and the extra, the staff has the extra of trying to lead us in worship and doing special things. And they did it so well. So let's celebrate our staff and show our appreciation to them. The staff at Broadway really does make our life together happen, and that is an important thing at Christmas especially. And then I want to tell you, too, that on Christmas Eve, something really special happened for me. And another confessional is that we do some of these things, these traditions, every year. And it's like, you know, I sort of continually have to say, why do we do that? And kind of remind myself and try to not forget or try to get it. And, you know, sometimes you think you do these things forever and why you would just get it. But the Christmas Eve service, and when we, you know, we sort of jokingly say around here that no matter what else happens, if we all end up at the end of the night with a candle singing Silent Night, everything else is fine. And that's true, but then I've often wondered, and I always feel like, is that some sentimental or nostalgic thing? And our 6 o'clock service, I'm standing here setting up the candle lighting, and I just started to notice the people in the front rows, and there was just an unusual number of people who had experienced tremendous loss in the last year. And there they were, lighting their candle. A woman right here in the front who's been married for 60 years, and her husband has dementia, doesn't know her anymore, with her lit candle weeping. And I realized, oh, this is not some sentimental, nostalgic thing that we're doing. This is like a claim of faith. This is daring to hope, being brave enough to believe that the message is true. And I saw that with new eyes on Christmas. And I so appreciate you all for giving me that message. And I think that is really what we do in worship every week, actually. Whether we acknowledge it or not, or even if we're aware of it or not, we show up in some act of faith, some hope that God is real and is at work in people like us with all the stuff that we have going on. So we begin with that hope at the beginning of the year today in some powerful acts of worship that connect us to what God is doing in our lives and in our community and in our world, and which allow us to remember what we are about, not just at the start of the year, but throughout the year, and hear that call and spend some time reflecting on what God might be doing among us as we lean into and move into the year ahead. So with that, let me pray for us and invite the Spirit of God to come and lead us. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and move among your people. Bring healing and hope. Give us the gifts of faith and love. Give us eyes to see your kingdom as it is breaking forth among us. And teach us to be people who walk by faith and not by sight. Come, Holy Spirit, and do the work that only you can do to make this more than just some self-improvement, self-help project. God, by your Spirit, would you form us into your people, and would you renew your creation? And we pray this in Jesus' name.
Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God,
So we all, in some way, do this. We look to the new year with hope and expectation, sometimes with a little skepticism, and sometimes with great resolve and New Year's resolutions. And I was watching on Facebook go from 2018 to 2019. I was remarking on how some people were celebrating great things that happened in the year that had passed, and some of us were like, 2018, don't let the door hit you on the way out, you know, kind of attitude. And most of us had some sort of mixed bag of things that had happened to us. And as we turn the corner and look in 2019, and you know, we can assume that that's probably the case as well. I saw this Calvin and Hobbes cartoon of sort of how we sometimes think about the New Year's resolutions. Resolutions, me, just what are you implying, that I need to change? Well, buddy, as far as I'm concerned, I'm perfect the way that I am. And nobody said amen to that at 8:15. Nobody said that amen to that at 9:30 here, because I think deep down most of us know that's not true. And if we're honest, most of us probably come into worship week in and week out with some sense that is very much not true. I don't think this is something that somebody has to tell us. I think this is something that most of us feel deeply. We feel the accumulation of our hurt. We feel sometimes overwhelmed and are holding it, you know, just barely together at times, sometimes holding it together a little better, sometimes a little worse. We feel out of control, powerless, shame, broken. How's that for an encouraging start to the new year? I think most of us feel that. And yet, we do this very strange thing. We sort of just pretend that it's all okay, because everybody else seems to be okay. Our tendency is to say, I've got this, or I don't need help. And all the while, deep down, we know it's not true. We're people in great need. We're all broken. We're all addicted to things. We all need forgiveness. We all need help. We don't have it together. So this is a great way to start the year. We kind of do this every year. Turn to your neighbor and say, I don't have it all together. Just go ahead and do it. I love the energy with that, especially the energy of spouses sitting beside each other, you know, family members turning to each other and saying that. And the wives are always like, honey, I know. Sort of like, yep, it's true. But it is one way for us to intentionally begin the year with that understanding. That's our starting point. We don't have it all together. And then the point, of course, is to carry that same message into how we do our life together as we come into worship each week, to acknowledge that rather than acting like we do, let's just say that we don't, and then say, God, where might you be at work? And also come into worship knowing we don't have it all together, and yet approaching the throne of grace with confidence, as the Bible says, not out of shame, not feeling overwhelmed by guilt, recognizing that acknowledgement of the truth is the starting point for a relationship with God and the starting point of our discipleship as we follow Jesus. And then as we go to small groups, you know, there's this tension in our discipleship settings, our Bible studies, our small groups, our Sunday school classes, where we can kind of come thinking we've got it figured out, or we can come in that same recognition. We don't have it all together, and so we're going to need each other. We're going to need to ask for help. We're going to have to take the risk and be a little more honest than we'll be comfortable. And this is our reminder that that's how we do our life together. We serve not because we have something wonderful to give to other people, that I have Jesus and they don't. No, we serve because we're following Jesus humbly, recognizing that he's going to teach us something. And so this intentional way of beginning the year, this honest way, the word for that is confession. And we confess not because we are heaping on shame and guilt, but because we need and desperately need to be honest. To drop our suburban middle class veneer and get real. We confess not because God is mad at us, but because God loves us and wants to get in there with us. We confess not to wallow in our junk, but to be set free from it. And we all need this. And it begins by learning to be honest with God and learning to be honest with at least one other person and learning to be honest mostly with ourselves. This is a process. It's not a one-time statement. it's a discovery, and it's a painful process in some ways, acknowledging our own need. But here's the good news. Into that place of need, the Spirit of God rushes. Into that vacuum that's created, that longing, that desire, that hurt that we feel, God comes in. And if we hide from that, we cut ourselves off from the most powerful work of God that could happen in us. If we acknowledge the truth, then Christ begins to set us free. And this is good news, that God wants to do the very thing that we need the most, that God desires for us to thrive, to grow, to come more fully alive is our vision language. This is how we know if we're doing church right, that we see people coming more fully alive. And this is our hope and our vision as we start the year. As Psalm 1 says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, whose leaf doesn't wither, whatever they do prospers. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And may it be true of us as we come and express our need to God. So let's confess as a community, as the body of Christ together, and invite God to come into that space. And you'll be invited to do that corporately. And then we'll have a song, and you will have the chance, if you want, to come kneel before the front here and pray, or to perhaps even kneel at your seat and pray, or take some time of reflection to let God meet you in your point of greatest need.
Have a moment of quiet, and then I'll pray a prayer over us as we begin this time. O God, searcher of all our hearts, you have formed us as a people and claimed us for your own. As we come to acknowledge your sovereignty and grace and to enter anew into covenant with you, reveal any reluctance or falsehood within us. Any place where we hold back, or where we choose not to believe. Let your Spirit impress your truth on our inmost being, and receive us in mercy for the sake of our mediator, Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit. Let's continue in an attitude of confession and thanksgiving.
That I may know you more.
to this place that I may know you. I want to know you more, more than the fears, more than the tears, more than the rescue. I want to know you. So free me from a past I cannot change. Confession out of shame, oh Jesus, you have brought me to this place that I may know you, that I may know you more and
more. Hear the good news this morning. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us, and that proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
This honest place is the start of everything else. In fact, that is the process. One of the things that we're learning, and certainly I'm learning, and I've been reading and hearing other people say, I think is a discovery of the church these days, is that what we do in following Jesus is very much like the recovery process. That all of us are in recovery from something, and so we're working a program, is essentially what we're doing. And I hear that coming up lots of places. I was reading a book by Brene Brown, who herself is a 20-year, in 20 years of recovery from alcoholism. And she said, I have a friend who said, leave it to a bunch of drunks in a church basement to discover the truths of life. And I would say that's the same way we ought to think about the church. Leave it to a bunch of broken people to discover the grace of God operative in the world. And this is our hope. And it is the beginning of the process and the foundation of the process for everything else, because we have a need to be real, to live more authentically, and it takes courage to do that. Fortunately, God's grace provides the safety to do that. And fortunately, God's grace provides the forgiveness that we need to take the next steps, because we also have not only a need to live authentically, we all have also a need for significance. And that can get skewed in lots of different directions, and it can go into ambition and power and control. But the basic thing inside of us is good. God created us for purpose. God created us, each one, for significance. God created each one of us intricately to be gifted so that we can love him and love neighbor well. And so we come at the beginning of the year also with that same need, to offer ourselves up, to commit to things that matter, to challenge and stretch ourselves, because that's how we were made, to not settle. And that's why we make New Year's resolutions. I think that sort of wiring that's in us that sometimes does feel like a self-improvement project that we give up on pretty quickly. But what we're doing is something different. We are living into the Spirit of God at work in people and community together. And this is a very much a communal thing. And so the next word that we come to is commitment. And that act of worship that comes when we offer ourselves to God as fully as possible, showing up for our own lives and for the people that we love, and showing up as fully as possible to God. Romans 12 describes it this way. Therefore, in view of God's mercy, and so this is a response to what God has already done, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. And then the translation of this from Greek is a little strange, but essentially it says, and that's basically what worship is, to offer yourself as fully as possible, which is a little bit strange because, you know, God made our bodies. They're his. But there is something to that act of will and the process of continually offering ourselves back. And the joke I always make when we use that scripture is that, you know, the problem with a living sacrifice is this, that it's always crawling back off the altar. And nobody ever laughs, just like you didn't. But it's true. But it's true. And so it may seem strange, but we just keep doing this. We keep offering ourselves back. And so one of the challenges to commitment is that it's not one big thing, it's a bunch of little things. And it's not one time, it's just lots of times. And we'll mess it up some, but we just keep doing it. And you just keep showing up and singing the song and praying the prayer and giving your best, which won't probably be a lot. And then one day something just clicks. And then you just keep doing it again and again and again. And then another day something else will click. And you sometimes think, what am I getting out of this? Or I didn't feel anything. And that's probably because you're doing it right. And then one day out of nowhere, wham, something just clicks. That's how commitment works. And we want to celebrate that. I think sometimes commitment is viewed as like this finger-pointing thing, like the stick that, you know, you got to keep kind of getting us out of something that we don't want to do. I think we want to be committed to things, and we ought to celebrate it when it happens. We ought to be looking for it as a part of the kingdom of God breaking out among us. So let's celebrate some commitments today that people have made in the last year. And let's start with baptisms. In 2018 at Broadway, we had 29 people who were baptized. Let's celebrate that together. In fact, we were remarking that usually we have a lot more children and infants who are baptized. This past year, we had more young adults and adults who were baptized, which says something about our youth ministry and the confirmation process and just how wonderful that is. It actually says something about how we have people coming to us who aren't from other churches, who have or not been churched. It says something about the ministry that we have with human trafficking survivors and the remarkable work of our Pathway ministry, and we just want to celebrate that. I want to celebrate those of you who did offer yourselves up to groups and to the process of spiritual formation in some way in the last year. About half of our congregation, in terms of worship attendance, typically is involved in some kind of group or study or Sunday school class, and show up to learn and grow and to love God with the renewing of their minds. And I want to thank you all for doing that, so let's celebrate those commitments. We want to serve those who celebrate those who serve, and typically about a little bit more than our average worship attendance week in and week out is serving in our congregation in some way. So somewhere around 1,200 people are serving in some way or another, and we could list a lot of things. I thought we might just hone in on one specific area because a lot of our work with children and youth goes on behind the scenes, and we don't see it. But those of you who volunteer in Kid Zone as a small group leader or as a large group leader, those of you who are small group leaders in our youth program and, you know, come on Sunday nights with a group of seventh grade boys and hope something holy happens week in and week out, I mean, it's a pretty wonderful thing. Those of you who are mentoring in schools, those of you who are working in the foundry or serving children in some way, so you don't have to stand up. I just want to celebrate that. Let's celebrate all those who are serving. Want to celebrate the financial commitments that make our ministry possible. So many of you gave. We ended 2018 in the black, which is wonderful and is because of the generosity of our people. We also want to celebrate our Christmas Eve offering, which went to Ashley and Justin Guest and helps them launch a community center in Roatan, Honduras. And that offering was $15,465. Wonderful. And they are, as we said they would be, they are already back down there and getting their life started there, and that's wonderful. I want to celebrate those of you who read through the Bible in 2018. Now, we'll celebrate those of you who started and those of you who are on the two-year plan, and that's all good. Anything's more than we might have done, but how many of you finished reading the Bible through our 2018 Read Through the Bible deal? Let's celebrate you guys. Good job. And if you didn't finish, you don't have to stop. You can just keep going. Or if you didn't start and you want to, the full plan that we did some. Well, Megan Johnston did a lot of work to put that together, to adapt a plan and make it ours. And that whole year plan is out in the Welcome Center. If you want to read through the Bible in 2019, it's not like, well, we only did that in 2018. No Bible in 2019. It's not like that at all. But we are going to move on to a very different kind of challenge in 2019. I'll tell you more about it next week, but it is centered around prayer. In 2019, we're going to pray a lot together. And we're going to do that in ways that unite us ahead of whatever might come in 2019, but also in just basic ways that will teach us how to pray and make us all just a part of being the community that prays. And I'm excited about that. However we talk about commitment, it always comes down to this simple reality. Jesus calls our name and asks us to follow him, every single one of us. And so commitment ultimately is about saying yes to following Jesus. And this is our jam. This is our lane. This is our bread and butter. All those other things are just about this one thing. The call of Jesus to follow him, to learn to do life from him. Yes or no? And one of the ways that we mark that here, it's not the, is baptism, obviously, as we've already celebrated. Another way we mark that is through saying yes to doing that in intentional ways in a local church through membership. And so this isn't sort of like joining the country club. It's not like the Visa Rewards program. This is saying yes to the body of Christ, saying yes to Jesus and learning to do life from him and following him. And that's a big deal. So we did this last year. We're going to do it this year. I think it's going to be our tradition. We're going to do a little game that helps us celebrate that and gets everybody involved. And those of you who've been to a wedding where they call all the couples out on the floor and then they have people sit down after they've been married certain amounts of times till only the longest married couple is standing and they celebrate that, that's what we're going to do. So let's stand up. Not the married thing, but church membership thing. So everybody stand so we can see this. And the first group that we want to celebrate is those who have been members for 1 year or less. So that would be those who joined last year, those who are guests today, we want to celebrate you. And those of you who haven't yet joined or attendees of Broadway, we want to celebrate you for showing up. So thank you. And those of you who joined, the number of people that joined in 2018, anybody want to guess what that was? 104. Pretty great, huh? So thank you for that. All right, if you have been a member of Broadway for 2 to 5 years, so some of you are going to be like, I don't know, just get it close. Nobody's going to check you on this. But 2 to 5 years, we want to celebrate you. And that's 164 people in that category. 6 to 10 years, this would be 358 of you. Let's celebrate you all. 11 to 20 years, this is when the growth captures the growth that Broadway saw, and that's 556 of you, so awesome. Now, 21 to 30 years, there's about 61 of you all. Oh, we got some holdouts here. Look at this. So that was 21 to 30, 31 to 40, so 40 years or less. That's awesome. We want to celebrate that. 40 to 49, so 50 years or less. And that leaves those who have been 50 years or more. How about that? Let's celebrate you guys. And you all can have a seat. I want to give Miss Ruth the microphone, but I'm not going to. But I do want to say, we asked some of these folks to share some lessons that they, or memories or whatever they had. And some remembered moving the church from when it was actually on Broadway to here. And one of our longtime members remembers being a young person in the church sanctuary. And if you're ever in there, you'll look, there are boards across the whole church. And remembered sitting through sermons and trying to count how many boards there were in the ceiling. Bored, I think, might being an operative word there. And of weddings and funerals and VBSs and youth group and finding boyfriends at Camp Lucon all the way back then. And saying yes to serving opportunities that stretch them and making decisions that open the door for all of us to be here, for this room to exist and for us to fill it. And then the advice, this is from Miss Ruth. She said, the church is a family that you go through life with, good and bad. And like family, you just stick with it. And we appreciate those who've committed to us and have stuck with it. So thank you again. So we're going to join in the offering together, our offering time, and do what the Bible says, to offer ourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is what worship is. And so the offering of ourselves and our gifts is just the natural extension of that. And as the ushers come forward, I want to pray a prayer for us. And it's a prayer of commitment, but it is a very honest prayer of commitment from Thomas Merton. Some of you might recognize it. And I think it fits with the honesty of who we are and who we want to be. So let's pray together and then let's give. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I don't see the road ahead of me. I can't know for certain where it will end. Nor do I really know myself. The fact that I think I am following your will doesn't mean that I'm actually doing so. But I do believe the desire to please you does in fact please you. And I hope that I have that desire in all that I'm doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire. And I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing of it. Therefore, I will trust you always, though I may seem to be lost and in the valley of the shadow of death. I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. Amen.
You give life, you are.
Our final act of worship is a reminder that all of this is possible because of God's grace, that we swim in the ocean of God's redemption and mercy, and that this life itself is a gift, and the opportunity to do life with God is the greatest gift. The gift of grace sealed in the sacrificial love of Jesus is our starting point, not in something we do, but in something that has been done on our behalf and for us, for our sake. And it's important, I think, and I think we all would agree, to get in touch with that, to begin our year recognizing that this is just a gift, that the very breath in our lungs is a gift, and that it's all possible because God has acted definitively for us. So we don't know what's coming in 2019, but we don't have to. In some ways, you can't prepare for whatever high or whatever low might come. But in some ways, you can prepare for whatever would come in recognizing that God would be with us, that God's desire is to make covenant to be with us, and that we simply can respond and have faith that he will lead us. Hebrews 11 was one of the actually passages that jumped out of the page at me, for me, when I was reading through the Bible this last year. And like many of you, in December, I was playing a little catch-up. I was reading through many passages, I'm sorry to confess, to get all of it done. And it was like I stopped in my tracks as Hebrews 11 describes people who had lived by faith and goes through a list. And then the summary goes from the triumph to the tragedy, the high and the low, the best and the worst, and describes that. I want to read that for us as we prepare for communion today. Listen for how faith is the common denominator. And what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about those who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flame, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again, highest of the high, and also the other extreme. There were others. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. There were some that were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two and were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. And then this phrase, and the world was not worthy of them. I'm guessing that none of those people went into whatever start of whatever year that was thinking, this is what's going to be said of me. I lived by faith in such a way that the world was not worthy of me. But this is the promise. Because we are not people made for this world, are we? And the greatest desires within us point us to something different and something more, and that's something that will not be fully realized in 2019 or in any year or in the rest of our lives. There's something greater placed inside of us. But what if people were to look back at our faith and say this of us, and the world was not worthy of them. May it be so, and it is so, and it is possible because of the one who left the throne of heaven and walked the dirty streets of earth. The one who lived and taught and ate with sinners and showed us the kingdom of God. Because of the one who walked the road up to Calvary, who bled and died and anguished out of love for us, and who died the death of greatest shame, the world was not worthy of him. And we simply follow him. We also follow the one who walked out of the grave 3 days later, in final victory over death and all that might separate us from God, and the great promise of redemption through him, And it reveals to us that God has stopped at nothing to be with us, to make a covenant with us, sealed in his own sacrifice. This is what we come to today as we prepare for communion. We invite those who are serving forward to remember that God makes covenant with us as the most sacred of opportunities, the greatest promise given to the human race, and the link between heaven and earth itself. We're going to come today. We're going to break a piece of the bread. Actually, the servers are going to break the bread and give it to us today, and you'll see that they are taking measures not to spread illness. This is something we do in just one of our traditions in January, too, is to keep us all healthy as possible. But it also can be symbolic of this gift that we do nothing to earn. And yet it is God's greatest desire to give. We come and act, but that acting is simply a receiving of a great grace. And so would you kind of place your hands before you as we pray and prepare to join in Holy Communion today? God, we come in tremendous gratitude, and we pray that we'll take steps throughout the year of gratitude, giving thanks for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ our Lord. May this bread be for us the body of Christ, the blood, the cup be a sharing in the sacrifice of Christ, that we might be for the body of that might be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Would you meet us here? We come simply to receive in great gratitude for what you've done for us. In Jesus, whose name we pray. Amen.